not quite true. I didn't come home to preach today. But I was up north for a different purpose, and I'm going south for another to be at the grandkids this afternoon. But the Morro Bay singing was this past weekend, and where over 400 Christians come together to sing and worship God. And there is a golf tournament put on by the Florida College Booster Club. It's a private college organized by Christians and to teach Christian principles with their education. So that's where I was. And now we're going down south to be with the grandkids. So, but I'm glad I'm here today. Brother Mitch Brown, our preacher, is away. There was a memorial for his wife Nancy's brother. So the passage that Stephen read, and I thank him for that, we see that these people began to make excuses. That is what the lesson's about today, is excuses. Excuses we make for not doing what we should. Excuses we make when we do something we shouldn't. And every action we take has a reason, okay? Sometimes that reason might be a valid or a good reason, and sometimes it's not. And we tend to make excuses for the things we do wrong or fail to do. Sometimes we make them just to ourselves to appease our conscience when we know we should do something and we don't. We might not tell everybody else why we didn't do it, but we make it to our own conscience to make us feel better about not doing what we should do. Need to define a couple words. A reason is a explanation or justification for an act. It's a cause or a motive. And as I said, every action has a reason. Sometimes we might say, well, I didn't think. I wasn't thinking when I did that. Or I didn't mean what I said. And what we usually mean by that is I didn't really consider the consequences, because everything we do and say has a reason. We may have acted on emotion without considering the consequences, and that often gets us in trouble. But an excuse is an attempt to free yourself from blame. The persons in the reading in Luke, they began to make excuses. They tried to make excuses why they didn't want to come to that feast. It's to ask for pardon and release from an obligation, or sometimes it's a pretended reason. We'll make an excuse that wasn't really true to try to excuse ourselves. I'll pick on Tom this morning. Tom was going to preach today, but he was excused because he was going to be gone. But now he's here. Okay. But he's still excused. He was traveling for the government, and they decide when you go and when you come home. So he is still excused, but our excuses may not be acceptable to God. They're problematic, and by problematic, I mean they may not be valid. Even if I think they're valid, you might make an excuse to me, and I might think it's valid. God is the one who's going to decide if it's a valid excuse or not. So they are problematic. An example, you might be too tired to come to church, okay? That might be a valid excuse if you were up all night taking care of the kids. Or it might not be valid if you're too tired because you're up all night watching the Olympics. See, then that kind of excuse can be problematic depending on why you're too tired, why you don't feel good to do something you need to be doing. I don't want to imply there aren't valid excuses, because I believe there are. It's just that I can't really decide them for you. It's between you and God, your excuse. One that we often use is I forgot. At least in my home we use that one, I forgot. And often it's true, especially at my age, it's becoming more true that I forgot. I have to write myself notes to remember to do certain things. But you know, the husband and wife, it might be the husband forgot the anniversary, okay? You know, that I think is legitimate. You know, it only comes once a year, okay? And the last time I forgot, I was excused because my wife also forgot. Okay? She didn't remember till late afternoon, and she did remember before I did, but it was pretty late in the afternoon. So I was excused in that case. There are many things we see I forgot. I often do a lot of the grocery shopping because my wife always forgot to buy the things I wanted. So I had to make a special trip. So I just started doing most of it because she never got the cauliflower, even if I wrote it on her list. She came home without the cauliflower. She didn't really care for it. So she always forgot. And so Sometimes we forget because it's not really important. I've never forgot a golf game appointment. Most of the guys have never forgot a hunting trip they had planned. See, we don't forget the things that are important, but we do legitimately forget some things. One of the things we make excuses for sometimes is not failing to come to church, okay? And you know, in God, it's clear in the Bible, he wants us to come together, assemble. He didn't say how many times. Well, people say, well, do I have to come? And that's not really the issue, do you have to come? The issue is, why don't you want to come and be with God's people and worship and praise God and be edified? That's the real issue. And so we should not try to look for excuses not to come. There are reasons that are probably valid that we don't come. But there's many things that we fail to do. Sometimes it's our initial obedience to the gospel. Why do some not obey the gospel? Sometimes it might be family or friends that keep them from obeying the gospel. Sometimes we'll blame the church and say, well, they're just not friendly. Somebody hurt my feelings. It's boring. We make excuses for not wanting to obey the gospel. I grew up going to church, and I remember putting it off because I thought, well, I made make this part of my life better first. Well, we need to obey God, and then we need to grow and develop in order to serve him better. Bible study might be one that we fail to do as we should. Personal prayer. Teaching in Bible classes. We need teachers in the church all the time, and people make excuses. Some of them are valid, but we need teachers. We need substitute teachers. And if you don't know how to teach, you can learn. You can come and sit in the class and learn with the teacher until you're comfortable doing that. Helping those who are sick or in need, that's another opportunity we have. And we may not feel like, well, I can't do that. I can't prepare a meal for somebody. But these are things that we can do, and you can always help somebody else. Giving to the church, do we give as we should, or do we make excuse and say, well, 10 years from now when my kids are raised, I'll be able to give. We need to give that some priority and not make excuses about that. Other times we can give to the individuals, if not with money, with time, we can do something to help someone. We can encourage each other. In your personal life, are you the kind of father or husband that you should be, or the mother and wife that you should be? We need to not make excuses for that and blame the other spouse. Well, I'd be a better wife if he was a better husband. We need to be the better husband first, and then the wife. One can encourage the other. And if there's something you really feel you can't do, there are plenty of other works that you can do. There's always something you can find to do for God, for the church, for your brethren. So we want to look at some of the excuses in the Bible and see what the result. They all have a common result, of course. We want to look at them, and many of them we still use today. In the opening text that was read, the one man said, I bought a piece of land and I can't come. Well, does that seem valid? Did you buy the piece of land before you went and looked at it? He said, I have to go look at it after he bought it. Doesn't sound like a very good excuse. And the other one said, well, I bought 5 boxes and I need to go look at them. Well, it's a little bit late after you bought them. The expression, the cow's out of the barn, it's a little bit late after you bought them. These don't seem like valid excuses. And then the third one said, well, I married a wife. I'm not going to comment on that one. But, the end result of all three of those, the master was not pleased with them, and they were not invited to his supper. They would not ever partake of his supper. So the result of those excuses, and I believe those were pretended excuses in that case, they show a lack of their priority wasn't in doing what the host was offering. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. There's many other excuses in the Bible. One I would title buck passing. It's blaming somebody else for your action or your inaction. And our president loves this one. He's still blaming President Bush. He's still blaming Congress. He's still blaming the Republicans. And so he likes that one. And I think we often use it ourselves. We're guilty of buck passing. Husband and wives do it, I know, at least in our home. But in Genesis chapter 3, we find the account of Adam and Eve when they committed the first sin we have recorded. They tried to use the buck passing excuse. And Remember, the devil spoke to Eve and convinced her to eat the fruit, and she gave it to Adam, and he ate it. And God spoke to Adam there in Genesis 3:11. He says, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree I commanded you that you should not eat?" So here Adam is caught in a sin that he has done. And notice his excuse. The man said, "The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." Now this excuse he offered was true. God did give him the Eve. Eve did give him the fruit, but he's the one that ate it. Okay? And he was not excused in that case. And then the woman, the woman, she blamed the serpent, said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And again, her excuse was true. The serpent did deceive her, and that was also true. But other types of buck passing, like say we blame the church, they're not friendly, we blame the preacher, he's boring. We blame someone at church hurt my feelings, or they're hypocrites. We need to come to worship God regardless of what any individual in the church may have done or does not do. Most of the excuses we're going to talk about are things we fail to do. I call them sins of omission, but because there never really is a legitimate excuse for a sin of commission. For something we do wrong, there's never going to be an acceptable excuse for that. But one that was tried by Eve was "the devil made me do it" there in Genesis 3. That was popularized for those who are young and old by Flip Wilson many years ago. And people still use it today. Sometimes a person will commit a horrendous crime and they say, "Well, God spoke to me," or "I heard a voice," blaming someone else for doing it. James in chapter 1, verse 15, or verse 14, he says, "Each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." So when we commit sin, it's because of our own temptation, our own desire, and we can't blame anyone else for that. James also said in chapter 4, verse 7, "Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." The devil, Satan, cannot make us do anything. He can influence us to do things that are wrong, and he can influence us to fail to do what we should be doing. Third excuse that I like to look in the scriptures is, "You're not capable." "I'm not capable. I can't do that. I can't teach. I can't do that." Or, "I'm afraid to do that." And we have a very major example of Moses taking that position. God had asked him to go and lead his people out of Egypt. Moses didn't want to do that, kind of like Jonah. Not for the same reason as Jonah, but he was afraid. He didn't want to do that. And so Moses in Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, Moses answered God and said, "Suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you." And so here Moses' first excuse is, "Well, I don't know if the people are going to believe me." Okay. Well, that wasn't his job, whether the people would believe him. His job was to tell them what God wanted. It's up to them to believe it. So that's not a good excuse. And so the Lord gave him signs. He gave him the staff that would throw down and become a serpent, the sign of his arm being made leprous and then cleansed. And so the Lord gave him signs to prove that God had spoken to him. And still Moses didn't want to go, even with those miraculous powers. He didn't want to go. And so in verse 10 of Exodus 4, Moses said, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." So here now he's offered excuse. I'm not very good at that, Lord. I can't speak publicly. I can't say the right thing. And the Lord responds in verse 11. He says, "Who made man's mouth, or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be your mouth and teach you what you shall say." And still Moses, for the third time, tries to make excuse. He says, "Oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may need." So Moses is still appealing, "Let somebody else do it." And do we ever do that in church? "Well, somebody else will take care of it." "I got something I want to do. Somebody else will take care of it." Moses was appealing to God to let somebody else take care of it. And And then we see in verse 14, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And that's not a good thing to have God angry with you. He says, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know he can speak well. Look, he's coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. So God really wanted Moses to do this, and so he answered all his excuses. They were not acceptable. But God did help him out there. You know, if it is true we're not capable of doing something, we need to work on becoming prepared. Again, with teaching, you need to work on it, becoming prepared. I believe all the teachers would let you come into the classes and sit in with them and learn how to teach, but we do need more teachers. The parable of the talents, many of you are familiar with that, where the master gave his servants 1 5 talents or coins, 1 2 and 1 1, and he came back later, and the one who had was given 5, doubled it and gave back his master 10. And the other doubled the 2 and gave his master back 4. But the one who received 1 talent, Matthew 25, verse 24, he says, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here you have what is yours. So his excuse was he was afraid to do what the master wanted. The Lord answered and said, you wicked and lazy servant. Again, we don't want God calling us a wicked and lazy servant. So we need to be careful of that. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, Paul was rebuking, or the writer of Hebrews was rebuking those Christians. He said, by the time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles. So there is a time we need to grow to the point that we can be a teacher. We need to be able to. And it doesn't have to be a public class. It's going to be private teaching or any type of teaching. I really believe the children's Bible classes in the church are important. I grew up going to church. Things I learned, some of the memory work that we did, have helped me all my life. You know, usually the young children, before 5 years old, learn the books of the Bible. Sadly, many adults don't know them. And it's true, you don't have to know them if they have an index. And now we have electronic Bibles, you can find them quickly, but it's still beneficial to know them and to help you find things. You know, sometimes the Old Testament, I have to go back a ways. I'm looking for Amos, as I say, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation, you know, and go up to that point. Oh, there, I know where it is. But we need those things that we learned as children often benefit us all our life. And so the children's Bible classes, I think, are very important. The fourth excuse we want to look at in scriptures is the idea that I thought it was okay. You know, some people say, well, I'm doing the best I can. I think what I'm doing is good. Seemed like a good idea. And we see that in the religious world today where they're doing what they think is good. They're not necessarily following God. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonderful works in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who work iniquity or lawlessness. Failing to do what God has directed, even though we might be very dedicated, we might be very diligent in doing good things. If we're not doing what God has directed, he's going to tell us to depart from him. The Apostle Paul, before he was converted, he said in Acts chapter 26, verse 9, he says, indeed, I myself thought I should do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Paul was very dedicated about what he was doing. He was persecuting the church, persecuting Christians, and he thought it was right. But he was shown that it was wrong, and he changed. So when we are shown that what we're doing is wrong, we need to make those changes and try to do what is right. Lack of knowledge is not going to excuse this. We're not going to be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know what you wanted, God. I didn't know that you wanted me to do that. We recently, I think, studied the prophet Hosea. He said in chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, okay? Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being priests for me. Because you've forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. So saying we didn't know what God wanted, that's not going to work. Not going to be acceptable. God is going to reject us if we fail to do what he wants. Another excuse is we didn't know or notice that something needed to be done. And this can apply to a lot of things, helping a brother or a sister, things at church that need to be done. Well, we didn't notice, we didn't know that needed to be done. We see in Matthew chapter 25, 41 to 46, where Jesus talks about those who didn't give him food when he was hungry, they didn't give him a drink when he was thirsty, they didn't visit him when he was in prison. And it says in verse 44, they will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? And Jesus' response was, then he will answer them, saying, surely I say, inasmuch as you did not do it to the least of one of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. So when we fail to do something for each other, we're failing to do it for God, okay? And so we need to keep that in mind. God, throughout the history of the Old Testament, looked disfavorably on any nation that mistreated the poor and the weak and the widows. God looked very disfavorably on any nation that did that, and he punished them severely, as we've seen in some of the prophets we've been studying on Wednesday, Sunday. But there's those who do not think it's important to help others, and we need to be doing that. Another excuse is simply the cares of worldly things. And that's what we saw in the text that Stephen read. I bought a piece of ground, I need to check that. I bought oxen, I got married. The cares of worldly things can keep us from serving to God, and that is not likely to be an acceptable excuse. Rather than making excuses, we need to be like the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, he was ready to do whatever God asked him to do. Isaiah 6, verse 8, he says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And here's Isaiah's response to that Lord's question. He says, then I said, here am I, send me. That's the attitude we need to develop. God, what do you want? I will go, I will do it, here am I, send me. That was the attitude that the prophet Isaiah had. James, in the New Testament, the writer James, he said in chapter 1, be doers of the word, not hearers only. We have to be active, we have to be doing things in our service to God, doing things for each other, doing things for the church. Works are required. James 2:24 says, you're then see that a man is justified by works, not by faith only. Many in the world today, like to say, they believe in God, they believe in Christ. They're not doing anything about that belief. They're not doing anything to serve him. And we have to be doing something for God, or we're actually working for the other side when we fail to do anything. If you never obeyed the gospel by being baptized into Christ, what hinders you from doing that? Is it the cares of the world? Is it family that's hindering you? You don't want to offend your family? Maybe you feel like being baptized you would be condemning your parents who may have died. If those things are hindering you, you need to put that aside and simply begin doing what God has asked. The Jewish rulers let things hinder them in the time of Christ. In John chapter 12, verse 42, it says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, and he's talking about the Jewish rulers, many of them believed in him or in Christ. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him lest they should be put out of the synagogue. So they let their position in the Jewish synagogue keep them from obeying the gospel because they would be kicked out, okay? They would be put out of the synagogue. And we don't want to let anything like that keep us from obeying God. Governor Felix, in Acts 24, he obviously believed because he was shaken. As Paul reasoned with him about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid. And he answered, he says, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call on you. So Governor Felix obviously believed, and it caused him to be afraid. But he says, it's just not convenient right now. I got these other things I want to do. Well, no record of him ever coming around to obeying the gospel. And that's the danger of putting it off when we fail. Like, well, God, later on in my life, in my older age, I will start serving you. You may not have that opportunity in your older age. We need to be serving him now. And I say the common thread of all these excuses here, none of them were acceptable. And I'm not saying there aren't acceptable excuses, but we need to examine ourselves very carefully. I can't determine for you what's an acceptable excuse. You need to examine yourself, your actions, and look at the excuses that we make. Because I believe most of us make excuses from time to time. Hopefully, maybe not too many. But let's try to serve God, study and learn what he wants us to do, and then do it. Just like Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. So, if you have any needs that we can help you with this morning, can be baptized into Christ, or might want to confess sins and ask for prayers, we can help you now as we stand and sing.